From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of March 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, a federal court has extended a pesticide applications rule to later this coming fall. And the chair of the Senate's Ag Committee says work on the 2012 Farm Bill will proceed on its own pace, with the committee considering direct payments, expansion of the federal crop insurance program, adoption of a new dairy program, and keeping the specialty crop section of the last bill. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then as we close out our half hour, we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the nearby contracts in the May wheat at 727 and a quarter, down 10 cents. July at 763 and a quarter from Chicago, 9.5 lower, and the soft red September down 9 at 801 and a quarter. The hard red July in Kansas City for the wheat at 872 and three quarters, down 4 and three quarters. Corn pit was lower as well. May futures 663 and a quarter, down 8.5 cents. July at 671, 7 3/4 lower. September 625 and a quarter, 7 1/4 lower. And December futures from the corn pit a nickel lower at $5.95 and a quarter. March futures next year at 605 and a quarter, 4 1/4 lower. May beans at $13.72, up 10.5 cents. July at 13.82 and three quarters, up 10.5. In August, 13.81 and three quarters, a dime higher. September futures 13.72.5. Up 9.25. November beans, $13.63.5, 9.25 higher. May bean meal at $3.60.50, up $1.90. May bean oil at $57.32, 30 cents higher on the day. Live cattle futures finished the April contract at $120.55, up $2.17.5. March feeders at $133.50, 85 cents higher. And the lean hogs on this Wednesday afternoon at $93.55 were down a nickel for the day. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby May, crude oil at $104.27 a barrel, down 52 cents. Ethanol at $2.47.6, a penny and 6 cents lower. Natural gas, a dime higher today, $4.36.5. The current trade, the RBOB at $3.06.3. That's gasoline, a penny and 7 cents higher. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.03.9, just about 0.2 cents lower for the day. Gold futures at $1,423.80 an ounce, up $7.60. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading 88 points higher at 12,366 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. They say still mostly sunny skies, a high near 50, northeast winds at around 8 miles an hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 29, northeast winds at about 3 to 8. And Thursday, partly sunny skies, a high near 50, northeast winds at 5 miles an hour. They'll turn to the southeast later in the day. Thursday night, a 30% chance of rain. That comes after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy, a low around 35 degrees, south winds between 5 and 8. And Friday, a 40% chance of rain, cloudy, a high near 50 degrees. East, southeast winds at 7 to 17. They'll turn to the west, northwest, and the winds will gust as high as 21. That means Friday night we'll have a low of about 25 degrees, and it'll be mostly cloudy. And by the time we get to Saturday, sunny skies will return. It'll be high temps, about 52. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 37. And Sunday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a high near 54. Sunday night, chance of showers again, cloudy, a low of 45. Monday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy, a high of 59. And Monday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 36 degrees. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us now to take a look at the agricultural futures markets and the USDA reports that are coming tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
There's actually quite a little bit of news to talk about, I suppose, today. The president making a big speech talking about energy and what the United States needs to do. And he, for the first time, I think, in recent memory, mentioned biofuels. He didn't say ethanol, but he mentioned biofuels again. I suppose that's probably good news. Is that the way you read it or not?
Well, of course, everybody is on pins and needles because of this, you know, $3.75 to $4 gasoline that we're looking at in the U.S. is really hurting the economy. It's a hidden tax, and a lot of that money is going overseas instead of staying here in the U.S. We all remember LP tractors and propane tractors out on the farm, and a few farmers had propane pickup trucks. And, of course, I think we could run trucks and tractors again on propane. The stock market is acting good, and, of course, that's good news. The market, and I think the Libyan situation is causing high crude oil prices and other problems in the Mideast, and I think it's on everybody's concerned, whether you're a farmer, politician, or president of the United States. So that it is something that's being watched very closely.
I have to tell one story here. When I turned 16 in 1980, my father, Paul, bought a brand new pickup truck, a little GMC short bed Sierra, maroon and white. Didn't have anything in it, only an AM radio. He bought a sliding glass window for the back, no air condition. And it was back when, you know, you had the vents down low. That was my air conditioning. We had it 1 month, and Dad converted it to propane. At that point, he asked me just this month if I wanted that truck. It has run that long, and it has not once had anything done to the engine.
Well, that's super, and I'd take it and be kind to it.
Well, I tell you,
the problem with a propane is, of course, you don't have to change oil as often.
Absolutely.
And it's clean burning, so to speak. It doesn't have the get up and go that a big gasoline fuel injected pickup has. But the big factor is they're harder to start in the wintertime, and it's a little bit harder to, you know, it's not as convenient to fill up around the farm.
Yeah.
But the big thing is, too, there was some major lawsuits by major tractor people walking into a tool shed with a cigarette and blowing the side of the barn out with a leaky valve.
Leaky propane
so there
tank,
was a lot of problems with that, but I'm sure with new technology, and taxi cabs ran in you know, a lot of the major cities on propane, so there is a lot of technology, and I know Mr. Pickens is pushing it real hard, and with this new shale gas, we have a big, big supply, and it all makes sense, in my opinion, to convert over at least your car and your pickup to propane.
Yeah, propane or liquid natural gas, they're similar. You know, you can buy an off-the-rack, a Honda Accord, I think you can still buy as an LNG, right from the factory made there in Indiana. If you look on their website, you'll find them. But it's a very clean-burning fuel. I just had to bring up that. I love that old pickup. Of course, and you're right, it was like having a governor on the engine. I got a good headwind in about 55 mile an hour is all I was going to get out of it. But
well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, so, okay, let's get back to this marketplace. Tell me about it for the day.
The market's scared to death of three things. We've seen over 100 million bushels of corn liquidated in the marketplace. The marketplace has had this whisper about feed usage of corn, and worry that at the U.S. ethanol plants haven't consumed as much corn as everybody has talked about. When we talk to some of the think tank people about feed usage, they said, well, the test weight's better this year. You know, the second thing is the livestock numbers are pretty good. Tyson's basically said, hey, we've hedged our corn crop, and we know how to play the market, and we're profitable. exporting this meat to Japan and the world has really pushed the cattle and hog prices and probably poultry prices to pretty good profit levels. So I don't really think we're backing away from feed usage, but one prominent buyer for a large hog corporation out in Iowa told me, he said there's a lot of DDGs being fed to hogs and cattle and dairy cattle, and that's a problem. And, of course, we do have a monthly export figure that comes out on DDGs. There was a statement by a prominent Chicago advisory service that said WASDE's being pressured to at least at each ethanol plant publish yield of ethanol and also the DDGs that are produced. So the marketplace isn't surprised by these stocks reports that find corn and don't find corn and things like that. And it would be better for the public for more transparencies. It's cost them, you know, the market a lot of money in here on worry. Maybe the funds boosted the corn price too high in the third place. But anyway, we're down today. We're waiting for this big report. And, of course, the other thing that's being talked about is more corn acres being planted. Whether the base production acres are as high as the government is, that's a big debate, and I don't think it's 9 million acres.
Okay, so grain stocks, you think, could show a surprise tomorrow morning. I take that that's what I'm hearing.
But if it is a surprise, my other feeling on feed from the think tank people, too, is 25, 50 million at the most. And, yes, exports are probably going to be good. Ethanol and industrial usage, which also means corn, sweetener, sugar, which is the other, you know, big profit item in the complex, is good, too. So, you know, those things all look, industrial usage looks good to me. I don't really buy this livestock panic, but hey, that's what the market's playing, and you have to live with the market or you're getting trouble.
So the panic is that there was just simply replacement with DDGs replacing
and
corn.
And also the argument is that with a little higher test weight, you don't feed as much corn and you get more get up and go with the cattle and hogs and chickens. That's been debated too.
All right. Well, I guess we'll find out more tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m.
Farmers are putting on anhydrous here in East Central Illinois. If we'd have another week of weather next Thursday or Friday, we'd have some corn going in the ground in East Central Illinois.
All right.
But we're going to get a rain, and it's too cold, too, in the third place.
So. I'm looking forward to talking to you on Commodity Week this week. Our guest is John Bondurant.
Sure. He's always fun, and he's a real gentleman, and we'll find out how the Mid-South plays the game.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
You too, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Tomorrow morning, of course, the USDA reports will be out, both the Q2 grain stocks report and the acreage report. Those come out at 7:30 a.m. If you were signed up for our weekend newsletter, you should already have an email in your inbox that has a link in it to a page that will be updated throughout the day, and you'll see the numbers there. If not, you can always go to our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We'll update them pretty close to about 7:30, right after that. And if you're signed up on our email letter and you gave us your cell phone, we'll text you those numbers too. So that's all available at willag.org for the report tomorrow morning. Tomorrow night, I will be in Lincoln, Illinois on the Logan County Fairgrounds, the U of I Extension building there. That's on Old Route 66. It's easy to find at 7 o'clock. And along with me, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson, and Pete Manhart has agreed to come along too. He's with Bates Commodities. We'll talk about those big reports that are due out tomorrow morning. You're certainly welcome to come by. It's free, open to the public, sponsored by the Logan County Farm Bureau. This one's at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening on the Lincoln, Illinois, Logan County Fairgrounds in the U of I Extension building. It's at Old Route 66. When you get to the stoplight right there, you can see it on the corner. You'll have to come into the fairgrounds and back around, I think, but you'll be able to see it. I hope to see you then, and we'll talk with you again tomorrow right here on this program.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Now here's Dave with the Ag News.
In agricultural news, a federal appeals court has granted EPA's request to extend the deadline to implement a federal pesticide permits program to October 31st. The previous deadline was April 9th. State officials have said they need more time to implement program rules. The EPA program could affect about 365,000 pesticide applicators nationwide, including some 5.6 million pesticide applications annually. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Debbie Stabenow says the Senate will proceed on its own schedule on the next farm bill and should finish it as quickly as possible, but she would not promise the bill will be finished in 2012. Stabenow says her farm bill priorities includes reexamining the direct payments program, expanding crop insurance to cover more crops, continuing the sugar program, using the National Milk Producers Federation's Foundation for the Future's proposal as the starting point for changing the dairy program, and continuing the specialty crops program from the 2008 farm bill. Stabenow announced last Friday that the first Farm Bill field hearing will be held April 9th at Michigan State University in East Lansing. A consortium of U.S. organic farmers and seed dealers filed suit against global seed giant Monsanto Company yesterday in a move to protect themselves from what they see as a growing threat in the company's arsenal of genetically modified crops. The Public Patent Foundation filed the suit on behalf of more than 50 organizations challenging the chemical giant's patents on its genetically modified seeds. The group is seeking a ruling that would prohibit Monsanto from suing the farmers or dealers if their organic seed becomes contaminated with Monsanto's patented biotech seed germplasm. The World Trade Organization says it is becoming weary of continuing zeroing cases against the United States. In releasing its latest ruling upholding Brazil's complaint against U.S. anti-dumping, the panel said the zeroing issue has occupied panels and the WTO's appellate body for far too long, and that it was time to find a permanent solution to the problem. The ruling says the zeroing issue, quote, has tested the limits of the WTO dispute settlement system for almost 10 years now. It has occupied the work of members, panels, and the appellate body like no other controversy. The Commerce Department has proposed to change the way it determines dumping and currently has opened a comment period to gather views on the proposal. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, and tomorrow evening's Ag Outlook at the Extension Building on the Logan County Fairgrounds in Lincoln, Illinois. This one's free and open to everyone. Starts at 7 o'clock. Thursday evening, we'll discuss, of course, the USDA reports that are due out tomorrow morning. Our guest panelists include Jackie Bakes of Stewart Peterson, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities. It all happens tomorrow night on Logan County Fairgrounds in the Extension Building there at Lincoln, Illinois. Just look for old Route 66. Now up next, you know the assumption going into tomorrow morning's prospective plantings report is that corn acres will need to increase dramatically this year as compared to last. The ag economists at the University of Illinois have tallied the economics of the primary crops in the state and expect it'll be easier for farmers to decide to put more corn in the ground here and throughout the Midwest. USDA, up until Thursday morning this week, expects farmers around the nation to plant about 4 million more corn acres than last year. Now, farmers told USDA earlier this month what they believe will be put in the ground, and that estimate will make up the March 31 prospective plantings report. Most think it needs to be at least 92 million, and in order for that to happen, fewer soybean acres will need to be planted in the Midwest. Thanks to University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist Gary Schnittke. And, he says, based on the economics of corn versus soybeans, that should be the case.
We made those projections using a corn price of $5.85 and $13.25 for soybeans. Those happen to be the current delivery prices for grain at harvest, or you could forward contract grain for harvest at $5.85 for corn and $13.25 for soybeans currently. Harvest time delivery. The other major item that we looked in profit projections was a $210 difference in cost between corn and soybean production. We are estimating that corn non-land costs are $210 higher than soybean cost. Given those two items, we come up with a projection of corn being more profitable than soybeans by $188 per acre. And that projection is made for Central Illinois high productivity farmland.
That $188 figure is large by historical standards, says Schnittke.
Between 2004 and 2010, the difference averaged $48 per acre. The highest or the most that corn has been more profitable than soybeans occurred in 2008 when the difference was $118 per acre. So you can see in Central Illinois, high productivity farmland, right now harvest time bids and cost projections lead to corn being more profitable than soybeans by a wide margin.
Well, that's all well and good for Central Illinois, but what about the rest of the state or all the counties in the 12 states that make up the Midwest? Schnittke did the spreadsheet on that one, too.
What we found was that in most counties, particularly those in Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, corn is projected to be more profitable than soybeans. And again, in that heart of the Corn Belt, southern Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois, what we find is that corn is projected to be more profitable than soybeans in almost all the counties. There's two or three where that isn't the case. But overall, across much of the greater Corn Belt, corn is projected to be more profitable than soybeans.
A map of the projected profitability is included in the article Gary Schnittke penned for the FarmDoc website. It can be viewed at www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us today to take a very quick look at the cash grain market is Tara Oliver. She's at the Anderson Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Tara.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Oh, I'm short of time, just a minute, so I need your quick assessment of the cash grain market and then your cash bids, please.
Okay. Well, just a pretty quiet day, I guess, here in the office. Not a lot of producers interested in selling anything prior to tomorrow's report. We saw the markets pretty mixed and choppy today, just a lot of position squaring as we head into tomorrow. So really everything's just kind of hanging out there until 8:30 a.m.
Basis remains pretty strong or not?
Yes, basis has continued to firm in the corn market. Beans have kind of weakened a little bit here, which I think we'll see continue just and hang in that range for a while. But corn seems like it's continuing to firm, especially out into the deferred months.
And your bids?
Our bids, cash corn to Delphi, 656, Climbers, 668, Delphi beans, 1354.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Tara Oliver is with the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Back in 2 minutes.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. It's just one of the many ways that you can get hold of the information provided to you by willag.org, Illinois Public Media, our agricultural programming. We post everything there not long after it's produced, from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and commodity week. There's a way to sign up for your weekend newsletter as well. And if you can't do that, you can't hear us on the radio stations, how about doing this? Dial this number, 217-333 3434. That's 217-333-3434. We call that our mobile analyst portal. It's really just voicemail or an answering machine. At 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day, we update it either with the opening or the closing numbers and a bit of analysis. A way for you to keep in contact with us and for us to reach out to you. It's all part of our service here at Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather joins us now to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And Mike, it sure looks like most of the activity is right here in the United States, or at least in North America. Start out west with the hard red winter wheat growing regions, please.
Yeah, there are a number of issues that are taking place. The most important one right now is occurring out in the plains. This is taking place from eastern Colorado into Kansas, Oklahoma, and into Texas. Most of the U.S. hard red winter wheat crop is grown in that area, and we have a drought that's been developing over the last 3 to 6 months from Texas into Oklahoma and southern Kansas. That includes approximately half of the hard red winter wheat belt, and at this point, there are not very many chances for rain out there. You know, wheat has broken dormancy in these areas. Temperatures this weekend will soar into the 80s and even the 90s in parts of Texas as quickly as Saturday and Sunday. Now, that doesn't last very long, but still, you know, wheat will grow fairly quickly in that type of environment. So we need rain in that area, and it does not look like significant rain is on the way for at least that part of the country, Todd.
Let's move a little closer to home and take a look at the soft red winter wheat growing regions in Missouri and Illinois and the Delta, please.
Well, there's nothing major taking place at this point. It has been very wet from Illinois through Indiana and Ohio, even into parts of Michigan. As you head south into the Delta, where there's also a lot of soft red winter wheat grown, it hasn't been quite as wet, and actually there have been some dry patches taking place. While that is something to note, there's a decent chance for rain across the Delta early next week. There could be some strong to maybe even severe thunderstorms. So while people don't generally like to see severe thunderstorms, crops do as long as they don't get damaged. And at this point, we're just expecting a fairly significant rain event in the Delta. So the soft red winter wheat crop is looking much better than the hard red winter wheat crop.
Hey, Mike, let's stay with wheat and the topic at hand, because the spring wheat growing regions will need to get planted sooner or later. Is that going to be a problem?
Yeah, well, as you head up there, there's deep snowpack in place, and we have snow depth that exceeds 10 inches as of the last couple of days of March. On top of that, there is a decent threat for a major snowstorm in Montana and North Dakota, possibly even far southern Canada early next week. So the snowpack is lingering in these areas, and the potential problem is that if we don't melt all that snow very quickly, then what will happen is that soil moisture will be high heading into mid-April and especially the end of April, because all of that snow has to melt, and then it has to stay dry for a week or two to get the soil to a level of where it's easy to plant in. And that just seems unlikely at this point. Deep snow on the ground, another snowstorm coming, a colder than usual pattern. And not only that, it's already April 1st on Friday, so it's not that far away till you would want to at least be in the mode of planting. So spring wheat is, you know, at a risk of a significant planting delay at this point. There's still some time left, but not looking good. And that could even get into the canola crop if it doesn't turn warmer much more quickly out there. So something to watch for sure.
Agricultural meteorologist Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather. Thanks, Mike, for being with us today.
Thank you.
By the way, you can visit Mike online if you'd like at tstorm.net. That's tstorm.net. Or you can visit us online and hear him again at willag.org. Either way, we're there for you anytime you'd like, 24/7. I'm Todd Gleason.